Well, let's pray to get started. Lord, we are so thankful for this day. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, who is in this room, who's present with us each and every day, and in a unique way, I know, this morning. Lord, may you manifest your presence and change our hearts and our minds. May you really, truly speak to us this morning on this important topic of prayer. I pray, Lord, that we would honor you and please you in all that we say and our thought process right now, that you would set aside all the distractions, even the wonderful things that we have to look forward to today, they would all just recede as we give you our attention now, in Jesus' name. Amen. As most of you know, or maybe some of you know, some of you may not know, we're in a series on prayer called Prayer Is. There's devotional books that we're, probably most of you have them, since all of them are gone right now. But we're going through a devotional book with a different devotion for each day. And by the way, if you're new here today and don't have one of those books, see me or Keith after church and we'll get you one, okay? I'm sure that this book will be a real blessing for you. It's been a real blessing to me. And this particular message this week, I've really enjoyed studying and meditating on this topic. It's been very formative. And I feel like if you are really paying close attention today, that this message will change your perspective on prayer. It will change your prayer life as well if you let it. I want to begin with a story. There were a number of ministers who were assembled to discuss some difficult questions. And the most perplexing question that they had asked that day was, how can the command, pray without ceasing, be complied with? How's that possible? There were numerous responses from the ministers, but no one offered a conclusive explanation. Finally, one of the ministers was asked to write an essay and read it to the group at next month's meeting. There was a woman there who was cleaning up after the meeting, and she overheard this conversation. She said, "What? You're going to wait a whole month to explain the meaning of that text? It's the easiest and the best text in all the Scripture." "Well, well," said one of the ministers, obviously offended. "Mary, what can you tell us about this verse? How do you understand it? Can you pray all the time?" "Oh, yes, sir." "What? How is that possible? You have so much to do." "Well, the more that I have to do, the more I can pray." "Really, how is that possible? Because none of us think that it is." And Mary said this, "When I first open my eyes in the morning, I pray, 'Lord, open the eyes of my understanding.' While I'm dressing, I pray that I might be clothed with the robe of righteousness. When I have washed, I ask for the washing of regeneration. As I begin to work, I pray that I might have strength equal to my day. When I begin to kindle the fire, I pray that my heart might be cleansed from all of its impurities. While preparing and eating breakfast, I desire to be fed with the hidden manna and the sincere milk of the Word. And as I'm busy with the little children, I look up to God my Father and I pray for the spirit of adoption, that I might be His child all day long. Everything I do furnishes me with the thought of prayer." "Enough, enough," the minister cries out, and he quotes Matthew 11. He says, "Father, thank you for hiding these things from those who think of themselves as clever and wise and revealing them to the childlike." Now, I suspect most of us, if not all of us, would be perplexed by this question as well. How am I to comply with this command to pray at all times and to pray without ceasing? And most of us would have the same attitude and the same thought process as these ministers. How can I pray all the time when I have so much to do? Well, our problem is that we have an improper view of prayer. We have an unbiblical view of prayer. And just like the ministers in this story, we think that prayer is something that you do on your knees with your eyes closed at set times and locations. And it's true that we should have set time and locations in the mix. However, true prayer is abiding and living with unbroken fellowship with Christ all day, every day, without ceasing. True prayer means to be occupied with Christ. And I would say preoccupied. Never letting His presence and being aware that He is with you at all times, each and every day, moment by moment. Okay. So let's dig into God's Word and investigate this. So prayer is a lifestyle. So how do we make this a reality in our life? First, consider the questions that are often asked about prayer. All of us ask these questions. How long should I pray? When should I pray? How much should I pray? And where should I pray? Now, prayer has become something that we compartmentalize. The when, where, how. We put it in these little boxes over here. And this reflects our total misunderstanding of life in general, let alone prayer. We tend to put everything in life into two buckets. Over here, we put prayer into the bucket of the secular, or we put life in the bucket of the secular or the sacred. There are two camps. Going to work is secular. Going to church is sacred. Watching TV is secular. Reading my Bible is sacred. Going to a cookout at my neighbor's house is secular. Going to small groups is sacred. The idea, the very notion that our lives are separated into the secular and the sacred is not found in Scripture. In the Bible, there's no division between that which is secular and that which is sacred. All life is sacred. All life comes from God. And prayer is more than something we do for a brief period each day. True prayer is a way of life, not just to use in case of emergencies. Now, Jesus taught his disciples in Luke chapter 18. He said to always pray and never give up. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, pray in the Spirit, be alert, and always keep on praying. Prayer is part of who we are. It's not merely something that we do. Now consider these two verses. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 3. He said this, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And in 2 Corinthians, he says, for we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. As Spirit-filled disciples of Jesus, we are called the temple of God. You and I, each one of us are called the temple of God. In Isaiah 56, God said this. He said, my temple will be called a house of prayer. Are you a house of prayer? If you're one of His, if the Holy Spirit resides in you, then you are a temple. Jesus quotes this verse when He drives out the money changers and the animals from the temple. He does this twice, and He says, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Prayer belongs in God's temple, and you are that temple. Prayer is an integral part of who you are as a child of God. Wherever you are, driving down the road, eating breakfast, working on the computer, golfing, fishing, eating, cleaning, whatever you are doing, if you're sitting with somebody or you're by yourself, no matter where you are the temple and you are a house of prayer. You are the temple of God, and prayer is part of your identity. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, King Solomon said this. Think about this. When King Solomon had built the very first temple to bring glory to God for His presence to be among His people, when he had finished the temple, he went to pray. When Solomon was praying, in verse 1, when Solomon was praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Fire flashed down from heaven, and the glory of God filled the temple. Now fast forward 1,000 years into the future. Think about this, 1,000 years in the future. As the apostles were praying in one accord with one burning desire, waiting on Christ, waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. This time as they prayed, a fire came down and it hovered over them as they were praying. The glory of God came, and the Holy Spirit filled the temple again. This time the temple was not made by human hands, but it was made of flesh and blood as the Spirit of God came into the new temple. Acts 2 says this, "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit." As you can see, prayer is part of your identity. Prayer belongs to you because you are a temple of God. Prayer is a lifestyle, and it's something that we are to do without ceasing. Okay, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and prayer is part of your identity. And as such, prayer is something you do without ceasing. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, "Never stop praying." Now, anyone who has trouble memorizing verses of Scripture, this is one that is pretty darn easy, isn't it? You know what? Never stop praying. In the King James, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Okay, let's consider what this specifically means. Because if you hear this word, never cease to pray. Pray unceasingly. Never stop praying. What exactly is Paul saying? The Greek word that Paul uses here is, and I practiced this a lot. I really had it down. Let's see if I can do it again. I'm not sure I can. No, I can't do that either. I'm reading. It's adialiptos. 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 I'll spell it for you later. This word means without intermission. Okay? Unceasingly, without intermission. Incessantly, without ceasing. It was used to describe, in the Greek culture, is used to describe things like paying taxes. You pay taxes unceasingly. Coughing, when you've got a coughing, you just can't stop. You just unceasing coughing. Or when there's a military attack and someone is just hammering away and hammering away and hammering away at their enemy. They are incessantly paying taxes, coughing, or in growing fruit. It was commonly used as well. So adialiptos is only used four times in the New Testament, all by Paul. In 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly." And then chapter 2, he says, "Therefore we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us," we never stop thanking God for that message you received. And then in his letter to the Romans, Paul used it again. He used the same word to remind them that he never stopped praying for the Romans. Paul did not mean that he got on his hands and knees and that he remained there 24 hours a day. He said this, God, Romans chapter 1, verse 9, "God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son." If Paul does not mean for us to be on our hands and knees and to keep praying 24 hours a day, then what exactly does he mean? Warren Worsby, he wrote this comment. He says, "It means to make prayer as natural to us as our regular breathing. Unless we are sick or smothering, we rarely think about breathing. We just do it. Likewise with prayer, it should be a natural habit of our lives, the atmosphere in which we are constantly living. Praying without ceasing isn't simply an activity. It's an attitude that you carry with you every day. It's an attitude of your life. It's an attitude of your heart." Okay, look at verse 17 again. In the context, verse 7, he says, "Never stop praying." And then in the context, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 15, Paul says this, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So he's saying, in a sense, he's saying, brothers, do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's basically summarizing the golden rule. Always be gracious, in other words. Always be gracious. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. and be thankful in all circumstances. As you can see, prayer, the prayer life, is wrapped around a life of joy and thanksgiving. Andrew Murray had this comment. He said, "Born between never ceasing joy and never ceasing praise, never ceasing prayer is manifest, the manifestation of the power of the eternal life where Jesus always prays. Between joy and thanksgiving, never cease to pray." If you're going to live a life of prayer, if we are going to live a life of prayer, we need to remember that it is a part of our identity, that we are to pray continually, and that Christ in us empowers us to pray effectively and without ceasing. You have to remember, it is the Spirit of God inside you that gives you the ability to pray without ceasing, to always be preoccupied and occupied with this idea that Christ is here. He's present. This is what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1. Paul introduces us, here's the key. The key to praying without ceasing. Paul introduces this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. In the NIV, this is what it says. "To them," and that would be to us, "to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." What is this mystery, Paul? The mystery is this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, the Holy One who is perfect and loving and gracious and kind and He's merciful, that same God who went to the cross and paid the price for your sins, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope for your neighbor who does not know Jesus. Christ is the hope for your son or daughter who does not know Jesus or has wandered away. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now just picture this. The eternal hope for all of mankind is in you. He's alive in you. And when we get this truth, when we truly get it, and when we refuse to let this incredible truth ever escape our thoughts day in, day out, then we are living this life of Christ in us. And we can begin to walk and talk and act and give and share and serve and, of course, pray just as Jesus did. And this is the key to praying without ceasing, is to never forget that Jesus is in you. To never forget who you are and who lives inside of you. We all know that this is where the rubber meets the road. Because how do you do this, Mel? How do you wake up every day, pray without ceasing, live as though Christ is right here with you at all times? How do you effectively do that when there are so many distractions? There's so many things to preoccupy your time and your thought process in this life, isn't there? We just can't picture how in the world am I supposed to fulfill this command and to always be aware that Christ is in me. I want to remind you of the woman that we talked about earlier. Her name was Mary, remember? This woman, with her childlike faith, taught those ministers what it meant to pray without ceasing. "Open my eyes, Lord, that I might have eyes of understanding. As I'm dressing, help me to be clothed with the robe of righteousness. And as I'm taking care of the little kids in my house, I look up to God my Father and I pray for the spirit of adoption that I might never forget that I am one of His children." And so on throughout the day. To find ways in the course of your day, in the course of your busyness, to always remember, like Mary, we need to look at our duties and our responsibilities as reminders to pray, not distractions to keep us from it. Amen? So here's a challenge for you this week. Are you ready? Pencils out. You ready? Okay. Challenge for the week. Check this out. I want you to imitate Mary. Here's what you're going to do. I want you to write out a list of 10 activities on a sheet of paper. Go get a notepad, sheet of paper. It could be, when I wake up, speak to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm awake. Speak to me today. Or you could say, good morning, Lord. And that might be a lot better than saying, good Lord, it is morning. Okay? Start with that, okay? That could be one. All right, I gave you one for free, all right? You're brushing your teeth. You know, I don't know what biblical word for brushing. Anyway, you're brushing your teeth. Write down, brush your teeth. And, you know, just sit there and think to yourself, let's see, what could I pray while I'm brushing my teeth? I don't have a clue. But bottom line is, write down 10 activities. Now, here's a specific one I want to give you, okay? Let me read the verse first. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. Listen, Romans 12, 10. You can use this one too, all right? So this counts as number two. Romans 12, 10 says this. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Pray for the other person with genuine affection and delight in honoring them. Okay, so here you go. When someone sends you a text, before you respond, pray for the other person. Love them with a genuine affection. And when you respond, ask the Lord, how should I respond to this text in a way that honors you? Okay, there's two. You wake up, you say, good Lord, it's morning. You say, good morning, Lord. That's right. Okay, that's one. Number two is, every time you respond to a text, pray for that person. And pray for how you're going to respond, okay? And the second challenge that I have for you this week is this, okay? Everybody knows it's Mother's Day, right? Everybody knows it's Mother's Day. This is what I want you to do. This is something you can practice, okay? Every day, there is probably all kinds of things that the mom in your life does. I mean, mom in your life, meanings it could be your wife. Could be your mom or grandma, etc. Here's what I want you to do. Every time you notice something that your mom or the mom in your life has done for you, I want you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Say, Lord, there's milk in the fridge. Thank you that there's milk in the fridge. You know, I got my bowl of cereal and there was no milk in the fridge. I was so distraught. But the next time there's milk in there, you just think, thank you, Jesus, for the mom in my life, in this case, my wife, for putting milk in the fridge. Now, for me, it's the other thing is really simple. I mean, especially for young people. You know, young people, you go to your drawers, you pull out your drawer, and there's clothes in there. It's like, wow, there's a fairy in our house who's putting clothes in there. No, there's a mom. So what I want you to do all this week is don't make it Mother's Day. Make it Mother's Week. Spend time thanking God for the blessings that your mom has meant to you and the things that she does to bless your life. Just moment by moment. You know, this would be a good practice to always be conscientious of the things that other people are doing for you, starting with your mom. And it's also a reminder to say, you know, the reason I have these amazing blessings is because somebody is caring for me and meeting those needs. And just praise Jesus and thank Him for all that He has given you. This, I hope and I pray, would be something that would remind you not only about your mom and the mom in your life who is blessing you, but also the God who has provided her and provided all those blessings. Now, your challenge, go do it this week, all right? Let's see, the first 10 people who text me and say, this is my 10, I challenge you actually, text me the 10 things that you're going to do this week. Now, granted this, if you're going to honestly try to develop a habit, you know, waking up in the morning and honestly remembering to say something to the Lord, if you're going to develop this habit, some of the things that you'll want to do may require you to investigate some scripture. Like, what verse of scripture would really go well with this activity? I mean, the ones that she listed there were all very good, you know, putting on the robes of righteousness and things of that nature. Or starting a fire to burn out the impurities, Lord. Take out the impurities in my heart. But anyway, it's going to take a little bit of time. But I challenge you to do these things this week, okay? Yes, Mel, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for this day. We want to thank You for Your presence in our lives. I pray, Lord, that every one of us would remember this just incredible truth that Jesus Christ is in us and that He is with us, that He walks with us. He wants to talk through us, wants to speak. I pray, Lord, that You would be present with us in such a powerful way this week that we would begin to develop this discipline of praying without ceasing. That we would not think of prayer as just something we do at a specific time and place, but we would think about Your presence with us at all times, and we would never cease to pray. Please help us to live this out, especially to honor the mothers in our lives this week, to be thankful for all the things they've done for us and do for us and the sacrifices they make. Would You please help us to remember those important things this week and bring glory to Yourself as we apply Your truth to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.